Blog Talk Radio.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruption. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on Deport from 29 districts. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on the rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.
Hello, and welcome to Provocative Thought, intimately known as PT, striving to awaken those who are asleep, stimulate those who are awakened, feed those who are starving, and nurture those who seek to know. I am your host, Carlton Steed, a self-proclaimed student of light in the search, discovery, and revelation of light on life's terms. First, I'd like to thank WeTalk Productions for allowing me to host this show. I'd also like to thank the creator for allowing me to be. You can contact the show by dialing 909-265-9215. Please press the number 1 to speak. You can contact the show by dialing 909-265-9215. Please press the number 1 to speak. You can reach us on the internet at www.blogtalkradio.com. Go to search and type in We Talk Productions and listen to the show live. You can also contact us on Facebook at Provocative Thought PT Community Organization. Tonight's topic, school choice. The Trump administration has proposed that students have the ability to attend a school of their choice. He proposes that the government provide educational funding by way of school voucher to make this transition possible. Sounds like a good idea, but does it serve the best interests of all public school children? 90% of children in America attend public schools. Increase funding to public school choice programs while reducing funding to public schools is a strategy that leaves behind our most vulnerable students. Since the charter school movement began in the late 80s, it has grown to include over 5,000 charter schools in the U.S. alone, serving 1.7 million students from the Center for Educational Reform, NPR. Anna Kamenetz says that President Trump's full budget proposal for fiscal year 2018 was $9.2 billion or 13.5% spending cut to education. The cuts would be spread across K-12, that's kindergarten to the 12th grade, and aid to higher education, according to documents released by the White House. Student loans, for example. This proposal calls for big changes to federal student aid. The federal government would stop subsidizing the interest on student loans for a cut of $1 billion in the next fiscal year. This would add thousands of dollars to the cost of college, primarily for low-income graduates. Pay close attention to the low-income portion of this, some of the research I've done here. School choice is a term for K-12 public school education options in the United States, describing a wide array of programs offering students and their families alternatives to publicly provide schools to which students are generally assigned by the location of their family residence. Basically, that means that in general, you go to your neighborhood school, what is deemed as your neighborhood school. Like, you can't, if you live in West Philly, you don't go to a school in North Philly, because that's not in your neighborhood. You don't go somewhere. If you live on 50th Street, you don't go to a school all the way up 60th Street unless that school services your residential area. So if you don't live within that geographical area, that's not your neighborhood school. So President Trump's full budget proposal for the fiscal year 2018 called for, as I said, a $9.2 billion or 13.5% spending cut in education, which sounds a little weird with the whole thing about the voucher. So school vouchers are one of three approaches to private school choice. Traditional vouchers are state-funded scholarships that pay for students to attend private school rather than public school. Private schools must meet minimum standards established by legislators in order to accept voucher recipients. So they have standards for the private schools to meet. Okay, so school choice. Title I is the biggest K-12, kindergarten to 12th grade, federal education program. It supports high poverty schools. Under Trump's budget, regular Title I funding would be flat, and $1 billion more would be dedicated to a new grant program for states that allow poor students to leave neighborhood schools for other public schools and take that extra money with them. And I think that extra money might be to the tune of $15,000 a student a year. That's what I think, so don't quote me on that. This concept is known as portability, or as it's sometimes known as backpack of cash idea. It's controversial because in practice it means redistributing funds from poorer schools and potentially poorer districts to richer ones. In addition, $250 million would go to create vouchers for private schools and $167 million for charter schools. So it sounds like there's some kind of exodus, or would be an exodus, from the public school system, which it seems to already be in some cities, in Philadelphia particularly. The administration is also expected to unveil, outside this budget process, a tax credit scholarship program, sometimes called NEO vouchers, as part of tax reform, the cuts. Some of the biggest axes would fall on a $2.3 billion program for teacher training and class size reduction, and a $1.2 billion after school program, which serves nearly 2 million children, many of them poor. A $190 million literacy program would also be cut. Wonder who's that, what group of students would that also affect? So, the gentleman called in last week before last with the school choice conversation, and it sounds good. Sounds like a good thing. I never heard of school choice myself. Particularly, I know that they have a program like that in Philadelphia, where you can, especially the, I think from ninth on up, the ninth at the eighth grade level, you can choose which high school, or the ninth grade level, you choose which high school you want to go to. I think it's eighth. Choose the high school you want to go to, and they have it at the also apparently at the other elementary grades also, where you can go to a high a school out of your neighborhood. They have school choice in Philadelphia. We'll get into that later on. And it's within the school district, though. It's not to private schools or anything like that. But you can opt to go to a private school also, a charter school, too. But what I was talking about was the school choice system that operates within the Philadelphia school choice system. But we'll talk about that later on. From politics, K-12. How would Trump's latest proposed school choice initiative work? By Andrew Jufusa. Okay, once again, the Trump administration has made expanded school choice the signature initiative in its education budget proposal. But there might be some confusion out there in terms of how it's supposed to operate. And this guy proposes that let's try to clear it up, because it sounds pretty confusing to me and sounds like what I just read, but here's what this guy's saying. In the president's fiscal 2019 budget pitch, there's a $1 billion opportunity grant proposal designed to boost both public and private school choice. However, the budget blueprint doesn't assign any specific amount of money to either public or private school choice. The reason? It's a more fluid version of what Trump proposed last year for fiscal 2018. Okay, now this is some politics right here. This is some one of those things, you know. And I'm going to go ahead and read this to you. In the fiscal year 2019 proposal, states could apply at their discretion for the $1 billion in opportunity grants funding. So a state that allegedly has a robust school choice program could seek a chunk of that change to increase the cash availability of what they already have. So I already got my school system is top of the line already. It's what everybody's trying to get to. It's maybe what theoretically this money is supposed to be targeted for schools to raise their level of you know, their ability, their capacity to educate students and probably teachers, too, I would hope, you know, because if you want to educate students, you want good teachers, and you want teachers that, you know, are capable. Anyway, but in a school system that already has these attributes, they would be able to just snatch some of that money, too. So, because it's not targeted towards any particular school district. So districts could also apply for some of that $1 billion. But they would be doing so under the Every Student Succeeds Act Wade Student funding pilot. Under the terms of that pilot, districts can combine federal, state, and local sources of money and replacing it so that the new funding system funding stream follows the student. It puts in a ESSA to help districts with high need students, think English language learners, for example. The pilot isn't strictly school choice in the way some are used to interpret it. For one thing, student or parental choice isn't explicitly mentioned in the ESSA's language about the pilot, but it could allow districts interested in operating public school choice programs to begin exploring it or to build on weighing funding systems they already use. Secretary of Education Betsy DeVos seemed excited about that prospect. She recently opened up the pilot to districts interested in applying, and the department seems to be think of this as an open enrollment system. Sounds good, huh? By contrast, for fiscal 2018, Trump proposed $250 million in grants to states operating private school choice systems. He also sought a student-based budgeting program under the Title I umbrella for 2018 to the tune of $1 billion. Unlike with states, there's no substantive reason to think districts would be interested in using this new funding in order to direct it to private schools. But the Trump proposal does set up an interesting hypothetical in which a state could apply for some of that money to create or increase a voucher program, while a district in the same state could apply for the weighted funding pilot. How much of that money would ultimately go to private schools and how much would go to public schools? All of that, of course, assumes that $1 billion proposal will get any traction. Remember, Congress ignored Trump's school choice proposal for the fiscal year in 2018. But the new proposal could theoretically tempt some districts to throw in their hat. How Charter Schools Work Culture by Ed Rabinowski, Funding Issues. Now, one of the big debates about charter schools is that they take money away from the public schools. So I'm going to talk a little bit about that. And does charter schools hurt the public school funding in any way? As they say, apparently in one way, it's not hurting them, but in another way, it does have an impact. So since charter schools don't change tuition, they must find other ways to receive funding. State laws determine how exactly charter schools are funded. They typically receive a portion of the state's education aid money for each student who attends the school. This money would usually go to the public school system, but instead is diverted to the charter school. Okay, that sounds like a loss of money. This is the source of the great deal of contention between people who are pro-public schools and those who are pro-charter schools. Public schools complain that this diversion of money undermines the public school system. Charter schools complain that under most funding systems, they receive only a percentage of the actual amount per student that the public schools receive from the state, an average of 61% in the U.S. This is from the Center for Education Reform. Further complicating the issue is the fact that charter schools have to fend for themselves when it comes to purchasing, building, and maintaining the physical property of the school itself. Public schools can undertake large capital improvement projects through taxpayer-funded funds. Charter schools can attempt this type of funding, but it's difficult and often leaves the charter school with a higher interest rate than a public school would receive. As a result, charter schools turn to alternative means of funding, donations from private individuals and corporations, boost funding levels at some charter schools by 20% or more. This is again from the Education and Public Interest Center. Charter schools draw funding from a variety of sources and have to do a lot of work to bring up the amount they have to spend per pupil. The only majority charter district is, they say, in New Orleans. After Hurricane Katrina, the city of New Orleans recognized and reformed its school system, creating several new charter schools. As a result, more than half of the students in New Orleans attend charter schools. From press release, ATF, American Federation of Teachers Union statement, public schools underfunding hurts vulnerable students most. So that's in connection with the charter school, public school situation we just are discussing. According to the report findings, Congress has failed students from low-income families, students of colors, of color, and students with disabilities in particular. This historic underfunding of Title I and IDEA, the Individuals with Disabilities Education Act, has reinforced a separate and unequal education system, leaving a $580 billion funding hole that has shortchanged the futures of our nation's most vulnerable students. Okay? And that those are the most vulnerable students. Low income, no income family, students of color, and students with disabilities in particular, okay? Those are the vulnerable ones. Since 2005, the federal government has shirked its responsibility to help provide services to students with disabilities to the tune of $233 billion. Over that same period of time, the personal net worth of the nation's 400 wealthiest individuals grew by $1.57 trillion. At the state and local levels, the report highlights that, on average, districts with large populations of students of color received about $1,800 less in per pupil funding than districts with a majority of white students. In response to the report, ATF President Randy Weingarten said, "The last decade of neglect has been devastating for our public schools, but this report confirms that those hurt the hardest are students who are our most vulnerable." There's a saying, you can tell a lot about a society by how they treat their most vulnerable population. And so there's a little something to think about as I read on. Okay, they go on to say, let's be clear. There are choices that state the federal policymakers have made. In the aftermath of the recession and the multi-year recovery, state after state has opted for tax cuts for the wealthy and corporations rather than funding for students, particularly those who need it most. Okay, so then we have the continuation of the disparity of and advantages of income and wages and, you know, for the wealthy and disenfranchisement of those who are vulnerable, poor, and unable to be defend themselves in political America. Basically, that's what's happening here. They're being taxed, but they're not being well represented up on the hill, whichever hill that they're making these decisions on. So, but the wealthy and corporations are being well represented. They're cutting funding taking money from the poor and allowing the rich to earn more money by our tax cuts. So that's an ongoing theme. Nobody's surprised about that, though. But still, even though it happens, you know, it's not fair. Okay, so from WBGH News, do charter schools drain money from the public schools? That's this big argument that people keep having back and forth. No, it doesn't. And yes, it does. You know, where does it do it at and things like that. So, by Amanda McGowan, 2016, this is written. So she says, Paul Revere, a former state secretary of education professor at the Harvard Graduate School of Education, joined Boston Public Radio to explain the nuances behind school spending. He says that while per pupil spending at mainstream public schools has not decreased because of charters, it's also important to think about funding on a school-by-school basis. He goes on to say spending per pupil in the district and in the charters is rising at roughly the same level. So you can't make the case that it's a dramatic drain on per pupil spending. But, Revelle went on to say, when mainstream schools lose students, they are required to adjust their budgets accordingly and do business less expensively than they were able to do before, which often results in a loss of programs. Okay, programs cost money, right? That's equivalent to a budget cut, but that's just a roundabout way of getting to one. Had that money remained in the system, and had those students remained in the system, right? Because the money goes with the students, right? The rate of spending would have gone up, and the system would have been able to put forward more programs and more variety for the programs than they are able to do with fewer students. So just based on Mr. Revelle's observation, it is hurting the public school system. But I would think that the people who design these programs know that. So mainstream public schools would argue that the marginal savings associated with losing a student are not nearly as much as the marginal cost associated with losing a student, he also says. He says that's probably true. There is less variety in programs in Boston there than there might be if they had more students. Same thing he just said there. Therefore, more overhead to fund programs, he said. But at the same time, you can't make the case that on a per pupil basis, they're spending less than charter schools. You know, go figure. So Philadelphia School Office of Student Enrollment and Placement, school selection. They have their own system in Philadelphia, as I said. I kind of mentioned that earlier, a school choice system. This is not the same like the one that the president's proposing. This is basically school choice, where students are, they remain in the public school system, but they feel like it's a school over in West Philly. A kid, if I got an example of a kid from North Philly, goes, it's an elementary school kid, I think, attends school in West Philadelphia. And it's one of the better schools in West Philadelphia. It's Powelton School. It's right on the cusp of the Drexel campus. You know, so, I mean, there's Drexel students all around it, because it's about maybe two blocks south of an area where you could lose your life. You know, it's just how that neighborhood is down there. So, but where this Powelton School is located at, it's, you know, apparently the school is a little different. Anyway, I'm just going to run through this real quick about this Philadelphia school system thing. It's a lot. I'm not going to give you everything because it's too much. I don't have enough time to really read all of it. So basically, allow students going into kindergarten all the way up to the 12th grade to apply to a different school other than the assigned neighborhood or feeder school. You know, a long time ago, you had to be like in a magnet program to go to a school out of your school assigned area. You know what I'm saying? Like, if two schools is, you live in a West Philadelphia assigned school assigned area, you couldn't go to Overbrook because you're not part of that area. But if you were a magnet student, you could go to Overbrook. They have different types of magnet programs, science, art, music, and they have other schools, specialty schools like, what's that, Dobbins, Tech, Bach, and stuff like that. You can go to those schools out of your district. There was specialty, but now they have a system in which you can just go to a different school. You know, you might not like your neighborhood school, maybe for whatever reason. You know, there's a lot of violence in Philadelphia public schools, and a lot of people complain that there's, and students have complained that they're not learning. And I personally spoke to a younger gentleman in his 20s, and he said that he felt the same way about it. He said he cut class because they wasn't learning in school. He could miss school for 2 weeks, come back, and still pass the test. So that's a problem, because you miss 2 weeks of anybody's class, you should be lost at some point about something. Not maybe not totally lost, but about something you should be. What? You know, but this guy said he could miss 2 weeks of class, come back and pass. That's a problem. Anyway, let me go back to this list anyway, because I'm getting away from what I'm talking about. But that's relevant anyway to why people might want to transfer their children to another school where the education and the bar is a little higher in terms of the socialization in the school, the education in the school, the teachers in the school, and just the whole school culture might be different than school cultures in some schools where you have kids running around the hallways fighting, threatening, fighting teachers and stuff like that, and not much learning, being learned in the classroom, that type of thing, okay? So I'm off soapbox on that. So anyway, if a student has a support IEP, a medical 504 plan, or English language learner, they automatically qualify for the LEGREA. LEGREA is an advocacy process allowing for an equal opportunity to attend a citywide or special admissions high school. So they have in Philadelphia, this is just in Philadelphia, it's not Donald Trump's thing. They have if you qualify, 504, that's a medical plan. You have a medical condition and things like that. The IEP, of course, you know, it's an individual education plan. So, you know, if your school is not able to service you, then you qualify to go to attend a school that can provide for your educational and special needs. Basically, they have that program. I'm not going to go read all of this year's stuff. This is a whole lot. Let's say on standardized test score results, be prepared to meet any additional requirements of that particular school, like writing samples, essays, or going to an audition or interview. Like what's that school? School of the Performing Arts. Okay, so you would have to audition to get to that. So make sure you know where the schools are located and any set of routes needed to get there, because you will be required to get your child to get to school. They have a law here that says if you have to live, 1.5 miles away from the school to qualify for public assistance with transportation, that means the school district will assist your child in getting to school. Of course, if you're a special ed student, you will probably automatically qualify for special ed, special needs students. You can apply for, or you are already, you know, qualify for transportation. You see those yellow buses picking kids up in the morning in school, and you see some kids get a trans pass to get to school and things like that. So basically, that goes like that. So, but if you're just a student transferring to another school, you have no special needs, anything like that, you will be responsible for getting to school on your own. That's the difference with that program. You know, that might get a little funky with the younger kids. That means the mom, you got to take kids to school. If you're working, before you go to work, then you got that situation going on. So, you know, if it's a high school student, that's no problem. Just get him up early or her up early enough. See you. You go to school. So, anyway, just read a little more. School districts apply through their parent and family portal. The student accounts is already linked to their academic records, which includes grades, attendance, behavior, and standardized test scores. They got this thing about standardized test scores going on also. When you fill out the application, everything tied to your account will be sent automatically. You will, however, be responsible for uploading an essay where applicable. Non-district students have to submit an online application in addition to uploading all the necessary records in order to be considered. The application is through a different portal, and you should be prepared with electronic copies of your academic records, which includes grades, attendance, behavior, standardized test scores, or results, and stuff like that. So they're looking at you guys. I doubt if any students are listening to this thing, but if you are, you need good grades to make these transfers. Hello, and welcome to Provocative Thought.
Yes, my friend. This is Mike from Singapore. How are you?
How are you doing, my brother?
Yeah, pretty good. You know, in your title, you said that, President Trump wants to give some kind of voucher to the students. Can you tell me more about it, please?
I'm telling you as much as I know. So basically, the voucher program goes like this. He's going to provide a voucher for children so you go to public school, right? So that money that they pay for you to go to public school, you can use that money to go to private school, a better school, or a charter school, or something like that.
I see.
So you,
I mean,
Kevin's a charter
But this man is man of lies and deceptions. Anything he says, I don't believe it, man.
Hey, you said it. I'm just.
I thought you were
bringing
going
the message,
me.
My brother.
I thought you were going to cut me. I know, but you're good. You're with me. I thought because you didn't say a few seconds anything. I said, oh my gosh, he's going to cut. No, I know. But anyway, actually, this man. You know, when a CNN reporter asks him a question, he doesn't like it, or he says, "What the hell? Why you ask?" It's none of his business. Reporters has freedom of speech. Everybody, right? Like me and you, we are talking to each other. It's our freedom of press, freedom of speech. It's our human
right
rights.
Right now, anyway.
And then he shot the CNN, and there's an inter lady comes and pick up the telephone, and then, and then they say that the CNN reporter was assaulted her and this. We didn't see anything like that. He just covered himself. He said, no, let me talk. And then she said, she sat down beside in Singapore and everything. But the question is, when a president of United States, for the first time in the history of United States, called press is enemy of the USA, this is exactly what Mussolini said, Pinochet said, Ayatollah said, and many, many other people said the same thing. So this guy, he has no respect for any constitution of United States, but only when he wants to, make I can't help to, you remember how he acts? He's a Reagan like actors,
right?
And also he is unmentally fit to command this nation. And we are suffering as we all Americans are suffering right now. How many mass shooting was just the last 10 days? One was in Kentucky, my friend, that the guy, white supremacy, KKK, went into the black church to kill many as black as possible. And then what happened? It was a God's grace. Church, he wasn't able to open the church. So he said, let me go to Kroger. And then we know that. Kroger, he went, there were two black, man, one female, was killed. And then other people, they said, hey, white will not kill whites. And then he stand down and he went out. But police catch him anyway. But then we had a Jewish massacre by the white KKK. I call them ISIS KKK because we never forget Black Wall Street, my friend. Black Wall Street in 1921. Black ISIS, the KKK ISIS went and destroyed the black part of the town. And then move 9, we don't remember.
That was Black Wall Street, right, brother? You said Black Wall Street, right?
Yes, yes. Yeah, yes, sir. Yes.
Right, I just wanted to be clear for the audience. Black Wall Street. Okay,
right.
Go ahead.
Yeah, and then move 9. Move 9, that, you know, what happened in Pennsylvania. They put a bomb on the complex. And so many, 18 people of the Move 9 died. And the rest, you know, were in underground. And then, you know, somehow it was friendly police fire, kills another police. And then they come and say, well, you killed it. And then 9 members were subjected to heavy prison time. And then one is freed right now. And she was the one that gave a birth to her son in the prison. So we hope that the other ones are free too as well. And we never forget Abu Mamaya Jamal as well too. And many other similar systems. But this guy, right after the shooting in California, and suspicious fire that it created a really mess for California. Thousands of homes are destroyed. It's something fishy going on because right after the shooting, the leader of the KKK who organized North Carolina, demonstration. He went to the White House, and then he said Europa. Europa is means hate in Germany or in their language. So they said Europa landed in White House. So they got the pictures and everything, and then the Guardian newspaper sent to Huckabee. A spokesperson for the, you know, for Trump, says, what the hell is going on? What do you mean by all of this? I mean, then she said, well, anybody has access to White House. We give free tickets to everybody. So anybody, welcome to White House. That was her response. This is, this president is a white nationalist, KKK, and he never comes and say, I denounce KKK, I denounce this old shooting. He never comes. Twitter. He tweeted, he said, I'm not going to give California any more money for disaster and federal and et cetera. You guys handle it yourself. But so you see, he doesn't care for the people. He doesn't give a damn. And he's a bit white supremacist, ISIS, KKK.
So let me try to fill in the right here. So you're saying that basically the most vulnerable population, when it comes to school choice, that's no accident that the most vulnerable population is being forgotten, being neglected. Is that what you're saying? Because he's doing that on purpose?
First of all, right. I mean, he wants to get the health care from the people. I mean, health care is your human rights. You must have a health care because you don't want to lose your home or whatever you have. Overseas situations or something happens, whether it's a delivery of a kid and et cetera, or women, they also usually go to the doctor more than men, but I mean, maybe both, but it doesn't matter. Both need to have access to equal care, but then we have it, he wants to dismantle it. So he's against the American people. Now he wants to give some voucher and bullshit that, oh, you can get this voucher and take it to go private school. I mean, this man, he married 3 times. I mean, can't you see narcissistic of the President Trump? And it's, he is unfitted for command. Go ahead, sir.
Let me ask you a question. So when you say American people, because he gave tax breaks to corporations. So he's not against them. They're Americans, right?
No. Right now, it's a government of corporation, by the corporation, for the corporation exists in America. Why the Amazon lady should be homeless because she injured herself in Amazon, Amazon workplace, and then she lost her apartment, she lost everything, and Amazon has $1+ trillion asset for the first time, the company, and next to it is Microsoft and Apple and etc. But the question is here, and she parks in you can YouTube it, just say Amazon worker sleeps in Amazon parking lot, something like that. You will find it. And then, you know, it's a shame. It's a shame that they are not giving her what he deserves, she deserves, you know, long-term disability, etc. You know, they say, no, you're a liar, this and that. What the hell is going on in this country? You work, and then you injure, and then you become homeless? Is this the Make American Great, MAGA?
Is it the American way? Apparently, this is a part of what's happening in America. So you're saying that the wealthy, included and politicians, in this case, our president, President Trump, does not care for the most vulnerable population. That's the poor, the working poor, and the vulnerable people in this country. Is that what you're saying? They don't really care about the people?
Nobody. I mean, they are taking everything that Obama, after so much, I mean, from time of Bill Clinton, they wanted to give us, you know, to the citizens of this beloved country, healthcare, that, you know, we can modify it and make it better and better, such as Europe has European Union has a free healthcare for their citizens. And, I mean, you just show your ID card and that's it. They don't ask you anything else, you know, no bills, you see. But the question is, why American people are so naive that the healthcare that they has given by the Obama, and they want to give it back, say no, we don't need healthcare, we are ready to lose our home or mobile homes or etc., but we don't want to pay, we don't want a free healthcare, I mean, a system. I don't understand the American mentality anymore. Can you?
Well, basically, I did a show that did address part of that. Basically, that people who did not know that the welfare, they were a part of that system. I don't know how that's possible, but they thought that they viewed welfare as something that helps minorities. You understand what I'm saying? So therefore, and minorities, they view minorities as the success of minorities as a threat to their success. So therefore, they vote against things that help or divert monies and things to minority groups. So they vote against it, not knowing that they were cutting their own throats. I don't know how they didn't know it, because if you're receiving TANF or medical assistance and things like that, you're receiving the same subsidy that a minority is also receiving. You understand what I'm saying? So apparently some of these people were unaware of it. I don't know why. I don't know if it's their hatred or animosity that blinded them or their ignorance, but they were unaware, and therefore they voted against themselves and voting against minorities. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes, and so they never going to get our votes for sure. And then plus, these people, they're rich, they have their own healthcare. They can buy any healthcare they want. But for us, we the people of the America, United States of America. I mean, healthcare is like a God-given right, you know, because why you have to be homeless because you don't have a health care and then suddenly you see a $200,000, $500,000 bill on you, you will have a heart attack and die anyway. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
But
she's homeless and she doesn't have health care. She qualifies for on Medicaid, doesn't she? Medicare. She can apply for Medicare. She's homeless. She didn't have an income.
But why we should come to that point, my friend? That's the question mark. Why we have to be so naive, so ununderstanding, unpassionate? I mean, you go to come to Singapore, everything is so clean. Killing city, killing, I mean, everything. Europe, the same way. Canada, your neighbor country, is the same. I mean, as soon as you clear to go to Canada, you get fresher air. I mean, automatically you feel different, happy, because you see, they whatever they give taxes, Canada spend it for the people, spend it for the roads, spend it for infrastructures. I mean, our bridges are falling apart. Minnesota, state of Minnesota, the bridge fault in Minneapolis. Do you remember in August 1st, 2017, I think, so... Why? I mean, and then we have nothing. Our roads are messed up. Our, everything is messed up. And they don't
think about us.
Invested, that's right.
You said American government is not reinvesting in America, right?
Exactly. And then if they give this money that we give them, then they give it to Europe. And Europe say, thank you, I make... free healthcare for ourselves for sure, even make it better. And to other countries, to look at, go to the satellite and just say Florida, USA, and zoom in on that Hurricane Sandy where it was hit. Go steal the houses. It still is molded, it still is black mold on it, and then zoom in on South Africa, Johannesburg. Look at the Johannesburg. They are keep building nice apartments for the people of the South Africa.
Right.
And the sum of the money comes from United States to South Africa, yes. I mean, happened?
Okay,
why did we come first? And I mean, then his slogan is MAGA. MAGA, and then we have MAGA bomber. MAGA this. All this. If there are four more of mass shooting before the Christmas or within Christmas rage, it's end of America. The Civil War officially will be started. Is this the what this president wants?
That's a good question. You know, I don't know if that's what he wants or if he's using, manipulating words and people's minds and feelings and things like that. I don't know if he actually wants a civil war. I can't answer that question, you know, but I understand what you're saying, though, what you're alluding to.
If there's four more incidents, it happens, that's it. Suddenly United States in break of mass civil war before the Christmas. This is the gift of the Donald Trump to people of USA.
So you don't think that Donald Trump is going to give support vouchers for the poor for education so they can
he doesn't give a damn. I mean when Heather is martyred in the United States of America by what white fascist KKK people? And then he didn't say anything. Did he go there in North Carolina? No, he didn't go. He said, screw it. Good job. Good job to the KKK. Good job to the ISIS KKK. Go ahead, do it more. And then we see more. I mean, from 1982, stats shows the crimes and mass shooting. The white is 60%. Blacks are 8%. Asians are 3%. And 3% are other races, etc.
Right.
Isn't that tell you something?
But what says a lot says that. But you know that the population in terms of this country for Caucasians is the population growth is not. They're not growing. They're not repopulating enough. You know what I'm saying? Not have enough babies to increase their population, and they suspect that population is going to be dwindling, and pretty soon they will be in the United States based on all the minorities. They will be the minority in the United States.
Well, you know, that's why the whites, you know, they have a website. You can go to it and read about it. I will tell you, it's called We as a Victor. And let me see if I had it earlier on or not. Okay, I will give you in a few seconds what's their website. I mean, what they want, actually, KKK does in the United States, they want everybody go back to their homeland. That means blacks must go to South Africa. Other countries, Mexican, go back to Mexico. And everything else, because as you said, they'll become minority, and it's they don't know that a white woman is married to Mexican, they don't know that a white male is married to black, they don't know that the white man is married to Italian. I mean, they already know that. The mix. I mean, I cannot even tell you what your race is right now, as we are talking, because it's so complex. But the white men say no. We want only white. That's bullshit lies.
Okay, we have been winding down now, sir. I appreciate you calling in today, and. Your opinion is very well regarded, but we run out of time now. But we'll stay tuned next week on the show. We're down to 90 seconds. I have to close the show now. I want to thank everybody for listening. Our caller, people who download the show. Stay tuned next week.
You will not be able to stay home, brother.
Thank
you will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Jag and sip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on report from 29th District. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Green Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.